sermon in this series, Relating in a Selfie-Centered World. And I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit sad to say goodbye to this series. It's been so much fun with you. You guys have created so much buzz on the internet and Facebook and other social media outlets, letting your friends and family know what we're talking about at Rolling Plains Church. And I think God has been on the move in our conversations and challenging us around the area of social media and technology, because it's a great challenge in our life. And so we wrap that up today, and we're going to talk about rest. And every single one of us needs rest. Rest for our minds, rest for our hearts, rest for our souls. Everybody needs that. And then we're going to wrap that series up today by talking about that. Next week, we start a new sermon series, and it's called God Never Said That. God never said that. We live in a culture today where we've adopted certain belief systems that we attribute to God, only God's never said that. Like, we hear things like, God will never give you more than what you can handle. Now, God said, I will never tempt you beyond what you can be tempted from, but he said, I'll never give you more than you can handle. Listen, I've got more of life than I can handle on my own every single day of the week. How about you? Am I talking to the right people? We need God, and we need God's love in our life. We're also going to talk about statements like, well, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anybody. God never said that. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That's a cultural euphemism out there, but hey, listen, God never said that. Above all else, God wants me happy. Okay, that might be nice and pretty, but God never said that either. So we're gonna tackle a whole slew of topics that culture has adopted, but that God has never said. And so we're going to talk about truth, and we're going to talk about the nature of Christ coming in grace and truth, and how the truth will set us free. You looking forward to that? Starts this coming Sunday. Hope to see you back for that. But hey, before we get there, let's wrap up this sermon series, Relating in a Selfie-Centered World. I've already mentioned the idea that we are in desperate need as a society and as a people and as the people of God to find rest for our souls. And in a technology and social media-driven world, it's even harder to find rest for our minds and our souls because, I mean, I've confessed to you before and I'll confess it again today. I'm tethered to this thing. And I know I'm not the only one. How about you? I'm tethered to this thing. I'm tethered to my iPad. I'm tethered to Facebook. I'm tethered to my email and notifications. I'm tethered to text messaging and connecting with people and always making sure I know what's going on by hopping on to social media. And it's kind of like what the great theologian Napoleon Dynamite once said through Kip and LaFonda. You see, Kip and LaFonda were finally getting connected at the end of the movie, and here's what the song that he sings to her. He says, "Hey, we met in a chat room. Now our love can fully bloom." This is amazing stuff here. "Sure, the World Wide Web is great, but you make me salivate." I'm not sure what that means, but evidently he was moved. "Yes, I love technology, but not as much as you see. But I still love technology, always and forever." Now, I can understand a little bit from where Kip is coming from, because I love technology too. I love my iPhone. I love my iPad. I love Facebook. I love email. I love to be able to text message back and forth. And I love to be able to get the message of Jesus Christ out there in a positive way on Facebook. And, you know, I even shared a verse of scripture and what we're going to be talking about this morning, yesterday on Facebook. And people looked at it and they saw it. And hopefully it inspired them to come this morning. But also there's this love-hate relationship with social media and technology. I love it, but at the same time, I hate it because I kind of become a slave to it. Am I talking to the right people here today? It's so easy to allow our phones and to allow smartphones and technology and social media to become our master. It's a big issue because we're always checking it. We're always on it. And this thing becomes the default for us. It becomes the default for us. It becomes the default for boredom. When we're not doing anything else, what do? We hop on the internet. We hop on our technology. And so I want to talk to you today about this idea of rest. But before we do that, I want us to all understand, those of us that are in the social media technology-driven world, that we really do have an issue. We really are dealing with some addictions here when it comes to these things. So here's the top 7 ways to know you might be addicted to social media. And these are going to all be really serious, okay? All right? Starting with number 7. If you're a Facebook user, you'll understand what this is. You plan your throwback Thursdays weeks in advance. Number 6. Your cat has its own Instagram page. This is serious stuff now. Some of them do out there. I've seen this. Number 5, your legs go numb in the bathroom while you're on your phone or your tablet because you're in there so long. Move on with your day. Number 4, you change your Facebook profile more than a 12-year-old girl. I'm just saying. Just offering this up to you guys. Number 3, you sleep with your phone like a teddy bear. You sleep with your phone like a teddy bear. Number 2, you refer to your spouse as your bestie. All right, husbands and wives, it is your husband or your wife. It is honey. It is dear. Just don't do the bestie thing. You sound like a teenager when you're doing that. Number one, you text your friends and family that are sitting right next to you in the same room. You have issues and you have problems, but you definitely know that you are an addict if you're always looking at your phone and not talking to the people that are right in front of you. You know that you're an addict, that every time this thing bings or buzzes or dings, that you have to go right to it to see what you might be missing. It's called nomophobia. It's actually a clinical term for it called nomophobia. It is the fear of not being connected through a mobile device. Whether you're at home near the internet or you're out on the road and you have 3G or 4G or whatever it might be. Nomophobia is the fear of not being connected through a mobile device. And it's actually a real thing. Did you know that they did some polls of some people and 66% of people mentioned that they have anxiety when they lose connection? I can understand and relate to that. I mean, have you ever lost your phone? You ever not be able to find your phone and you kind of freak a little bit? I remember I was walking outside of another church I was serving years ago and I had my iPhone in my hand and I was walking out to the car and at the same time I had my phone, I was reaching to the car handle, only I threw my phone to the ground on the pavement. I heard this crack and then it slid under the car. And all of a sudden my whole world flashed in front of me. I mean, I was freaking out. I was like, my phone! My phone, but I didn't get down right away because I was so afraid to look. I didn't even want to look. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't know what to do. I mean, my precious phone might have been destroyed and trashed and all kinds of horrible things. So I paused and I hesitated. I kind of, like there was a monster under the car. Like when I was a kid, I kind of like, you know, kind of looking under there. I got down on one hand and I couldn't see if it was destroyed yet or not. So I reached out and I grabbed it and I closed my eyes and I put it in front of me. I lifted it up and I looked at it and, oh, thank you, Jesus. And Lord in heaven above, it wasn't cracked. My life was saved as we know it. And I was so worried and I was so concerned about it. It's because we get so consumed with these devices. And I know you've lost your phone or you've maybe had a young person, or maybe if you're willing to admit it, you yourself have dropped your phone in the toilet. Have you heard about this? Drop your phone in the toilet. If you want to rescue it, I guess you throw it in a bowl of rice. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we freak when we lose connection. We freak when we lose our phone. We don't know what to do with ourselves. But the statistics continue on. Did you know that 58% of people say that they can't go an hour without checking their phone? 59% of people say they check their emails immediately every time they receive them. 89% of people say they check their emails and social media daily while on vacation. 80% of teenagers sleep with their phones. 84% of people believe that they cannot go a day without their phones. How many of us would admit that the first thing we do in the morning and the last thing we do at night is to check social media? The last thing we do at night or the first thing we do in the morning is to get on our phones and check for text messages or to check for emails or whatever it might be. And when we realize that that's the pattern and the habit that we are living in, we know that we need help. Okay? So if you own a smartphone, if you're on the internet, if you are involved in social media whatsoever, I want you to raise your right hand. And I want you to say, I, state your name. You're supposed to say your name there, not state your name. All right? Let's see if you can get this any better than the 815 service. They blew this too, all right? Okay, so you say, I, John Alice. You are not John Alice either, okay? I'm John Alice. You use your own name there. David, what are we going to do, man? We got to get these people straightened out here, okay? All right. So raise your right hand and say, I, John Alice, whoever you might be, I have a cell phone problem. I have a technology problem. And I am somewhat, if not all the way, addicted to social media. Lord Jesus, help me. Well, guess what? We're here to help you today. Welcome to Technology and Social Media Anonymous. You are in the right place because we are here to help you with your addictions, because I'm learning to get some help with my addiction. And my biggest challenge is I am constantly checking my email on my phone no matter where I am. And even if it's my family day on Fridays, I'm checking my email. And it's just terrible because my kids are sitting right in front of me. They want to play a game. I check my email and all of a sudden something's blown up at the church, so I've got to make a phone call. And so now for the next 2 hours, I'm invested on the phone with somebody when it's supposed to be my family day off to spend time with my family. And when that's done, the situation is done, but my mind continues to go and I'm stewing on the situation. And so now I can't be fully invested in my kids. kids, and I give that day away. So that's where my addiction lies. I have a hard time letting go of the ability to be able to check my email on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, for me, when I'm on vacation, I have a hard time not checking in with the office and checking the email to see how things are going at the church. Like the church can't survive with me for 5 minutes, right? But you guys check your social media like your friends can't survive without you for 5 minutes. Did you know that the universe will still spin on its axis even though you're not on your phone for 5 minutes? But I'm still discovering this in my own life. These are the challenges that we deal with every day. It is a constant distraction, and it is a constant challenge. And when we live on this thing for long periods of time and we're not able to get off of it, oftentimes our productivity diminishes. Did you know that workplaces and bosses and companies and corporations are dealing with a lack of productivity like never before because people can't stay off of their phones, they can't stay off of the internet, and so it doesn't allow us to be productive in the way that God calls us to be productive. And so the RPM are constantly spinning in our heads. Our minds are full. We're filled with challenges and worries and concerns like does my friend's cat have the sniffles? Or what happened to my buddy's hamster? Or what's the next recipe for a swan-shaped apple going to be? And we're just consumed with these things on top of everything else in life. And our minds never get a chance to slow down. Our souls remain full and burdened. And our hearts are empty. And we're constantly overwhelmed with stuff. And in doing so, we find ourselves being short with our kids, being spiritually exhausted, feeling disconnected from our spouse. We find ourselves longing for more, and we're unsure why. And yet we keep going back to our devices. We keep going back to the internet like that's going to fulfill us. But we still find ourselves unfulfilled. And if that would have done it, we'd have felt better by now. But we don't, because we keep going back to the same thing for a source of satisfaction and lasting fulfillment in our life. But that is not the answer. If we're honest, every single one of us would admit, whether we're on social media or not, whether we have a smartphone or not, if we're honest, everyone would acknowledge that our bodies and our souls and our mind, we need a break. We need a rest. Anybody relate to what I just said? We need a rest in our hearts and our minds and our souls. We've run amok in our hearts and our minds and our souls. We've run amok with the stuff that's on our souls and in our hearts, the things that we're carrying with us. We need to learn to have a spiritual rest in God. We've got to unplug long enough to find peace. We got to unplug, and maybe it's not just social media, maybe it's not just technology, but just be able to unplug from the worries and the fears and the concerns of life long enough to discover a peace that passes understanding, to discover a solitude in our life that can exist. We need to learn to live more in the presence of our Creator God and to know Him more and to walk with Him more and to do this daily. And when you do it daily, to discover this abundant relationship that God wants to have with you. And while we do that, we learn to love the people that are right in front of us in the room more and more every day. And in order to do that, we need to make a declaration that I'm no longer going to be mastered by anything else other than Christ living in me. Amen? And it doesn't matter whether it's money or technology or a relationship or your feelings about yourself or a hobby or a sports team. There is going to be nothing else in my life that is going to master me other than Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father. And for a lot of us, we feel like there's got to be more to life. We feel like we have a life that has this lingering frustration, just like a cloud that hovers over us, this lingering exhaustion and this purposelessness. And in that, we need to discover a truth that God wants to give us today. This is a gift to you today, that God has a special rest in Christ for you. I want to introduce you to a special rest that God has promised for you in this life. Let's read what the author has to say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 in Scripture. He says, "So there is a special rest waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest." St. Augustine once said this, "God, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you." We were designed for a relationship with God. We were designed to have intimacy with the Creator. We were designed to have God living in us and flowing in us and to contemplate His goodness, to contemplate His loving work in us. And why are we so exhausted? Why does rest seem to be so elusive? Because we're longing for something that brings lasting satisfaction. We're longing for something that brings lasting meaning and purpose that helps us in our relationships and makes our relationships work better. We're longing for something that will help us feel a sense of significance and fill a void in our life. And sisters and brothers, Scripture just said it, and St. Augustine reminds us of it. The only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. the presence of God in your life through His Son, Jesus Christ, guiding you and leading you in all things, so that your life and your soul will no longer be restless, but that you can discover and find, watch this now, not just a rest in God, but a special rest in Jesus Christ. Who's got the hand of their heart raised saying, yes, that's what I want. I need a special rest. Life is too full. It's too much. Got too much on my mind and my heart and my soul. And social media and technology, it just sometimes makes those things even worse. Here's another special word for you. These are Jesus' words as recorded by Matthew in chapter 11 in the Bible. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? I mean, isn't this what we're longing for? We're longing for this. And it's say, if we're going to be receiving this kind of rest, we need to be yoked to God in Jesus Christ, to be connected, to be guided and led by Jesus Christ. You know, honestly, at the end of this series, a lot of us are at a crossroads. And we're going to make the decision is, are we going to do life as usual, or are we going to do what God is naturally leading us to do? So let's focus on two ways for the rest of our message today on how we can find this rest. How do we find rest? Here's the first way, and this is going to be simple. The first way is we need to learn to be still. Now, this is simple, but it's biblical. This is simple, yet it's hard to do. But we just simply need to learn to be still. Be still in our minds, be still in our hearts, be still in our souls. It is the call of God. David records it in Psalm 46:10, God's words. Be still and know that I am God. So we need to learn to be still and contemplate the goodness of God. To be still and to know that He is God. To contemplate His presence. To contemplate His provision in our life. Now, it's hard to be still. I mean, you ever watch a child try to be still? Now, we try to put our kids in front of the television every once in a while, you know, in America today, so that we can get a break as parents. But sometimes that doesn't even work. Like Isabel. I mean, she'll last about 2 minutes in front of the television set, and then she's just onto this or getting into that, and she's constantly bouncing around the house, and mom and dad just need a break. It's tough because she wants to play. She wants to get involved. She wants to do this. She needs help with that. And now the only way that she'll stay connected to the television is if the Duggar family is on. 19 kids and counting. Oh, my goodness. She has an issue there. She has an addiction to that show. She loves the Duggar family, but I can think about all the things to watch on television. That might be one of the better things to watch. But you ever watch a child and how impossible it is, even toddlers especially, two-year-olds, you know, terrible twos, for them to just be still? Now, some of you might be sitting next to somebody. You might be married to somebody where you're thinking, well, this person has a hard time sitting still too. Maybe you have an adult child. I don't know. And it's just hard to sit still. But for our minds and our hearts and our souls, just to be able to sit down and be still, there's times where we need to speak into our own souls and say, hey, I need to chill. I just need to cool out. Don't be so wound up, John. Just sit down for a moment and let's rest. Let's rest together for a moment. In Psalm chapter 131 and verse 2, King David writes this about his own battle with trying to be still and to slow himself down. He says this, instead I have calmed and quieted myself. Man, that's powerful. Like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. He's discovered the secret of figuring out how to pacify, how to wean himself off of the cries and the pains and the lostness and the loneliness. He's discovered is about quieting himself in the presence of God. He has thought his way into a state of solitude. And for me, that's important for me personally to hear, because my mind is constantly racing, and I need to learn how to shut down. I need to learn how to shut my mind down. I once had a pastoral friend share with me some advice he got from his counselor around the idea of spending 5 minutes every day thinking about nothing. 5 minutes every day just shutting your mind down. Now, you might think that that's silly, and it might sound a little bit weird, but try it. It's hard to do. Just for 5 minutes, 5 minutes a day, think about nothing and just be still before God. Be still and know that He is God. Just 5 minutes being still and contemplating the goodness of God, knowing the purposes of God and the call of God in our life. It's a hard thing to do for 5 minutes. And if you sit down and try it, guess what happens? Your phone starts to buzz or to ding. Your mind starts to wander. And you're asking, what happened? What did I miss? What's going on Facebook? And did someone post a picture of their vacation in Fiji that I just have to see? You got to try it. And when you try it for 5 minutes, all of a sudden your mind starts to wander and you start thinking, hey, I've got work to do in the yard. I got to trim my toenails. And listen, it's springtime. You got to keep those things cleaned up, right? You got sandals going on. And all of a sudden I got to cook dinner and this email came in and now I got to deal with this. And that whole idea of being still and knowing that I'm God is a lot more difficult than it sounds. But still, we need to allow our souls to rest. And in order to do this, we need to discipline our own souls to not be mastered by technology or social media, or not to be mastered by fear or worry, not to be mastered by the RPMs constantly spinning in our hearts and our minds. And in the process, we need to simply know that God is God. And in that moment, we'll discover a solace. We'll discover a peace that passes all human comprehension. We'll discover a special rest that God has for us. And because God promises us a special rest, we can discipline our souls to not be mastered and to know that we can do this by the very power of Jesus Christ living in us. By the power of God, we can think on the goodness of God. By the power of Jesus Christ, we can know God and experience this solace and peace. By the power of Jesus Christ, we can allow God to run our lives rather than thinking the universe and our church and our job need us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can take 5 minutes off and the universe will still survive. Gravitational pull will still happen. The earth will not fall off of its axis. We can only do this in the power of Jesus Christ, where we learn to enjoy the moments we have with God and to contemplate His goodness and His incredible love for us inside this special rest. Not any kind of rest, but a special rest, a Christ rest, a Jesus rest, a rest that your Creator has designed you for. Who needs that? I know I do. You know, these special rest moments, this 5 minutes of contemplative quietness is so awkward and odd for us. I remember from time to time on my lunch break, I'll head home and just kind of leave the church and go get a bite to eat at the house. And I'll go out and stand on our deck and I'll just stare off into nature and just watch the birds and just quiet myself for 5 minutes. I remember one time Erin walked out onto the deck and she said, "Are you okay?" And this is how awkward this is for us to just slow down, to take a break, that we think that we're sick or there's something wrong with us or there's something wrong with our spouse because we finally slowed down. Why? Because they just see us going all the time. And this is where we've gotten to as a society, where we think there's something wrong with this idea of stopping and just being quiet and silent for just about 5 minutes in that moment. I share with her, "I'm just doing great. I just need 5 minutes I just got to quiet myself because this is going on. I got that going on. And I just need to recenter myself on Christ." And she got it in that moment. We need to get it. So first of all, we need to learn to be still. Secondly, we need to make a plan. The proverb speaks into this. Scripture says, "A wise man thinks ahead. A fool doesn't and even brags about it." We've got to make a plan. A fool says, "Hey, it's no big deal." But intimacy with God is a big deal. Because intimacy with God, getting quiet with God, it affects our relationships. It affects the way we treat our kids. It affects our marriages. And so we've got to name it. We've got to name our problems and our challenges. And that's why, honestly, I'd you raise your hand and you say, "Listen, I'm an addict of social media. I'm an addict of technology." We've got to name it and then be still. And then because of that, we have to come up with a plan. Name it and make a plan. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on doing that in my own personal life. For too long, I've set my kids aside for the priorities of the emails that are coming in or checking social media and not giving them the attention that they deserve. For too long, I've been on family vacations and daily checking my emails and allowing church stuff to run my mind and my heart or stuff in life in general. And so I'm working on making a personal plan. I'm encouraging you to do the same when it comes around technology and social media. But you have to have a defensive plan and an offensive plan. Every good team has both a defensive plan and an offensive plan that works well, except for the Detroit Lions. Everybody else does, except for them. But in this case, we're going to have a good defensive plan and strategy, and we're going to have a good offensive plan and strategy. Let's look at the defensive plan first. We got to own the power of Jesus Christ in us to be greater than any draw or addiction in us. We have to own the power of Jesus Christ, crucified and dead and buried and gone for 3 days, and own the power of the resurrection of God in Jesus Christ, that it can overcome any draw or any addiction in our life, whether it's money or a relationship or TV, technology, social media. And when we do that, we have to get along with some other people, a spouse, a family member, or a friend, and come alongside of them and form a covenant with them, a binding agreement where we hold each other accountable to the overcoming and overwhelming power of Jesus Christ to overcome these challenges. And part of that covenant and those agreements together might mean something practical, like deciding, listen, we're not going to get the phones out at mealtime in the house. All the phones are going to be put away. And when life group comes over to the house, or we go over to life group somewhere, we're going to put the phones away for Bible study, and we're not going to get in those. When we're having our quiet time with God, we're not going to have the phone sitting on our lap, because that's what we do. We have the phone sitting on our lap, and getting quiet with God for 5 minutes isn't done in front of the television set. Getting quiet with God isn't done with the phone sitting on your lap. Getting quiet with God isn't talking to God about all the needs that you have and asking Him for prayer requests. It's just simply being present with God and contemplating His goodness. Maybe one of the simple steps and decisions you make is that at 10 p.m. every night, social media technology is off, because this is our time together as a family or as spouses. This isn't my time with somebody else in some other place that's out there in cyberspace somewhere. And in our house, personally, we ask our kids to turn in their phones when they step in the door, not just at bedtime. We do it bedtime. Turn in your phones. You don't need those in your bed. You don't need to sleep with it like it's a teddy bear. It'll be okay. It'll be there for you in the morning. You know, God's mercies are new every morning, right? So is your ability to get on your cell phone. It'll be okay. But we also, not just at bedtime, but we say, whenever you're just hanging out in the house, you're not walking around with your cell phone, talking to people who aren't here, you're going to learn to be present with the people who are. So maybe these are some steps that you might take in your life. Maybe you decide that that you're not going to first check your phone in the morning. You're not going to lastly check your phone at night, but you're going to make some different decisions about what you're going to do first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Maybe it means you need to turn off social media notifications, the things that cause your phone to buzz and to ding and to cry out to you, check me, I'm here, I'm your friend, I'm your addiction, come check me out. Maybe you just turn those notifications off. Now, you might miss your friend whose hamster has the sniffles, but I think it's going to be okay. Or maybe it's just time to take a social media break when you're on vacation. Maybe you decide for 5 days while you're on vacation, and this is the season, so some of you guys are going to be going on vacation, that you're just going to focus on the people that are with you that you love the most and love you the most, instead of others doing other things in other areas of the nation or the state or wherever it might be. Maybe, and I might get a collective gasp on this one, take a month-long break. Whoa. A month-long break from social media. And if you can't go a month, it may reveal where our priorities are. Ouch. Think about that for a moment. So what is your defensive plan? How about an offensive plan? And we're going to wrap things up with this thought. Talking about an offensive plan. Your offensive plan is your primary tool in relating to God. Your offensive plan, the primary tool of your offensive plan, is relating in a relationship with God, not with everyone else on social media. We need to just simply get with God. So here's the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning. You don't check your phone. You check in with God. You say, "Good morning, Lord." Or maybe sometimes you might say, "Good Lord, it's morning." It just all depends on the inflection. But either way, you're talking to God. "Good morning, Lord." Or, "Good Lord, it's morning. I got some things I need to talk to you about." But either way, you start off with God. Before you go to bed at night, the last thing that's on your mind is a prayer. You talk to God and you give things over to God. And maybe that means you hop on your Bible app. There's a YouVersion Bible app that you can get on your phones or your smart devices. And you get in God's Word. Maybe it means you grab an Upper Room or Daily Bread. These are devotionals that you can get out at our information table on your way out. And it's laid out. Every day there's a prayer. Every day there's a scripture. And every day there's a thought for that day. We got to go on the offensive, and we've got to feed it. We've got to feed our relationship with God. We've got to feed and build up our souls in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to allow Jesus to renew our minds. We need to allow Jesus to transform us into His image, to transform our hearts. He's the only one who can effectively build purpose in our life. He's the only one who can effectively build an understanding about life in us. He's the only one who can give us lasting meaning. And so we need to spend this time with Him. We need to spend that 5 minutes every day just contemplative and quiet, focusing on the goodness of God. Focusing on a peace and a hope and a joy that will allow us to experience His power that day. A regular time of prayer where we just breathe in and bathe in His presence. And we do it without ceasing, the Bible says. It says to pray without ceasing. And that just simply means throughout your day you seek Him for things. And you walk with Him during the day. And you believe that He's with you like the Bible promises. And you converse with Him throughout your day. You share your joys. You share quiet moments. You share good things with Him. You share challenges with Him. You check in with Him. You say hi to Him like He's sitting right next to you, like your friend is right now. Because He is. And you constantly lift your thoughts up to heaven, and you praise God all throughout your day and all throughout your week, because you're going on the offensive. And if you're going to go on the offensive, you get involved in a life group. You start to build relationships with other people who are going to hold you accountable, who are going to pray for you, and you're going to do the same for them. Or you get involved in a ministry team. And on that ministry team, you're going to discover new ways that God is trying to lead you and guide you. And maybe that means we need to adjust our schedules to do so, because all that stuff that you're scheduling with your kids to do during the weeks and on the weekends, it's not helping you or your kids anyways. And we get involved in what God is calling us to by surrounding ourselves with people who love us, who challenge us, who encourage us, who pray for us, and who are willing to grow with us in a relationship that we do the same for them. Maybe it means we just simply need to get out in nature to contemplate God's beauty in His creation, to contemplate His glorious creation. And I've already shared with you, that's one of the things I do. I get out on our back deck in our house, and I just stare at the birds and the trees and the view, and I just soak in the grass and the green, and just, thank God this time of year it's green. But just in that moment, just kind of soak in the beauty of God. Maybe you need to find a place like that. Maybe when you go on vacation, you find a special moment, a retreat, where it's longer than 5 minutes. Maybe you spend a half an hour sitting on a rock formation and staring at the ocean, or going into the mountains, or going on a hiking trail and just observing God and His creation. And here's what you do. You don't take a picture of it and post it on Facebook. That moment is between you and God. Amen? How many moments do you have just between you and God in your day or in your week? Because my first inclination when I see a beautiful waterfall is, I got to take a picture of it and I got to post it for the world to see and see how many likes I get. It's not about likes. It's about the love of God in your life. And you need to hold on to these moments as sacred. Don't let anybody else into them. It's just between you and God. These are moments of deep intimacy. You don't need anybody else in the room between you and God in that moment. It is your loving relationship with God. And we need to get more quiet more often with our God in these times. Maybe it's in that scenic nature place, and not take a picture of it, because it's not about likes on Facebook. It's about a loving relationship with God. We got to get a plan and get serious about making changes and talk about it with our families and the ones that we love the most. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says this: stand at the crossroads and look. As for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. And so in this new area of social media, in this new area of technology, it's easy to fall in love with the new things and forget the ancient practices that God has had instilled for over 2,000 years that draw us closer to God. We cannot forget the ancient ways, the good paths, the good ways, and that is prayer, talking to God, studying His Word, getting involved in a Bible study in a life group with other people, serving, going out into mission and ministry, and investing ourselves into an intimate relationship with God. And though we are going to embrace social media and we're going to embrace technology, it will not master us, because the only thing that I will allow to master me is Jesus Christ, crucified, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and invited personally into my life. And I pray that you've made that decision too, to invite Christ into your life. We need to seek Him with all of our heart, and we need to know His will on a daily basis, and to know that He will add everything that we need if we do seek Him. Praise be to God. A couple of action steps for you. Number one, remember, take 5 minutes, try it a day. I call it chill and be still. 5 minutes a day this week. Try. You can have the day off. Just start tomorrow. All right. You got to get prayed up for this. You got to get a workout going. 5 minutes. Just contemplate God. Chill and be still. Number two, put a plan together with your family. Get together with some accountability. Talk to your family about this. Set some guidelines and some boundaries. Get your defensive plan together. And then number three, take a break. Just take a break from social media, technology, whatever that means for you. And let's watch what God does. Praise be to God. Amen.